I don't know who that guy is that John just introduced, but I'm standing in for him today, and I have a message for you young people here. The only way that I could get in to the Environmental Protection Agency in 1972 was to be a clerk typist. I had to go down to civil service, take a manual typing test, pass it, and then I was admitted to EPA as a clerk typist because they were under a hiring freeze. It was the Nixon administration. And the only positions they had open were for clerk typists. But I didn't do any clerking and typing. I worked on water pollution control regulations for the area-wide water pollution control planning program. So if you need a way to worm into government, academia, or the city, consider being a clerk typist. Well, today what I'm going to talk about is what some of you may think of as the con position on the salmon farm. And I didn't start out that way. I started out pretty optimistic and impressed with the design and the plan that Nordic had put forward. But I wanted to know more. So I started to dig into some of the details of the site, the technology, the track record of the company, and at the risk of completely losing my wife's undying love, the commercial salmon market on a global scale. But the more I read, the more I decided that we need to know a lot more about an operation like Nordic's or Whole Oceans, which is another operation that's going in upstream in Bucksport, before I think we have enough information to make really informed decisions. And by we, I mean us as citizens, also our regulators, the regulatory community, which works hard. They're often understaffed or underfunded. And there's a lot out there that they need to know, they want to know, and they are dying to know, if only we can give them the tax money to do it. So they need, I think, better answers. And I'll talk a little bit tonight about the particular areas in which I think we need to have more information. But the main reasons why I'm concerned about this particular facility is it would be the largest, if not the largest, one of the largest recirculating aquaculture systems put on land in the world. So we're, in our little town of Belfast, are going to be a world leader if this goes through.
1 minute.
1 minute. The facility is going to be extremely large. It is going to essentially be a completely controlled environment for growing salmon all the way from the fry or the egg stage to the adult, process them, and send them out. At full capacity, this plant will hold 8 million salmon at a time. The tanks that they are installing are going to be the largest, what do they call, RAS tanks built in the world so far. That's impressive, but it's also a cause for concern. And I'll share those concerns with you all tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew. Mm-hmm. Kathleen?
So I was asked last week to fill in for Nicole Price, who couldn't be here. So I have very quickly put together everything I know about this. I don't know a lot about salmon farming, but I do know a lot about water quality. So I am the neutral. I've never been a neutral before, so I'm giving it my best shot. So the big question that comes to my mind as we consider this is the larger context of how do we feed humanity without destroying the earth? And this is one of the many challenges facing us, and consequently all the creatures we share the planet with. The UN Food and Agriculture Organization in 2012 stated that aquaculture will likely supply most of the projected increase in seafood need over the next few decades. And even when our fisheries are stable and harvested at sustainable levels, the World Bank estimates that they will not be able to meet the need for seafood. Compared to other animals raised for food, fish are in general more efficient at converting protein into edible body mass at a rate of 30 to 60% compared to 5% for beef and 25% for chicken. We already have finfish aquaculture in Maine. And in 2010, which is the last year I could find numbers for, we produced 8,000 tons of salmon. But that compares to the 280,000 tons of farm salmon that we import. And that was from 2012. Obviously, there's room in Maine to capture some of that market. Currently, these salmon in Maine are grown in pens. The technological advances have made that environmental impact, made less environmental impact. There are still some real concerns about salmon net pen aquaculture. One being the escape of the fish. They dilute the gene pool of the native wild Atlantic salmon. That can cause them to behave differently. We don't have many wild Atlantic salmon left, so even a little bit of dilution can be a problem. There are disease issues. Sea lice are attracted. They're crustaceans. They're attracted to the salmon in the pens. And you have a concentrated source of fish and fish waste that is not being treated. It's just going down to the seafloor, which disrupts that habitat. So land-based systems avoid many of these problems because they do treat the waste and they can control the disease levels without the level of chemicals that you would normally have to have in salmon net pens. But one of the areas of concern that I have with this facility in particular is the nutrients that will be released into the coastal area are quite high. The levels are quite high. Okay. And we care about this because, mostly because of nitrogen. Most of Maine's coastal waters are limited in nitrogen. So when you add nitrogen, the algae grow. They bloom. When they grow a lot, they bloom. We call it a bloom. And the levels of nitrogen that are being released are concerning, and I'll get into a little bit more detail about that. So when the phytoplankton bloom, they die, they fall to the bottom, they deplete oxygen, they decrease pH. And we care about those things because they impact our shellfish economy, and they make it more difficult for species to survive on the bottom. So I would say I can see positives and negatives, and I'll go into a little bit more detail about that as we go on. As with almost anything like this, we have a lot of problems to solve, and these solutions aren't perfect. So there's going to be good and bad with everything, and we just have to be vigilant and keep an eye on this.
Thank you. Eric?
Good evening, I'm Eric Sanders. I guess I'm the pro, but I think more than anything I'm a consumer, except not a fish. I don't eat fish. I grew up in Missouri, a landlocked state, and was told by my mother early on that fish contain mercury, and therefore I need to limit my intake. So that's who I am. I've been on the council 10 years now, and we had... Lou was at some public hearings, I think they were back in the fall, and they got a little chippy up there with interactive public hearings and stuff, and I was picked by Lou as the most genial of the lot to perhaps come down here. And I've been looking forward to it. I have. And Andy and I met at the co-op, and Kathleen and I just met tonight, but I'm looking forward to it. I will tell you that as pro as I am, and that will be mainly from an economic point of view, but I kind of think from an environmental point of view too, I think all of the attention being paid to this is not a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think having the community, I was telling Kathleen right before the meeting, we are living in a fierce community, in many ways, of protectors. And there is nothing wrong with that. And maybe if Nordic didn't know that when they were coming, they know that now, I think, loud and clear. And I think that ultimately, I'm going to be advocating the process of DEP, and I'm sure there's people in the room that are untrustworthy of DEP, and that's fine. But I'm a consumer, and I'm also a public representative of the city of Belfast, and a large majority of the people that I have talked to support the project. I will tell you personally that I think there are pros and cons to the issue. I think you're spot on with there are problems to anything, but finding the right solutions and making sure the company hears and acts on those is a concern of all of us in this room if the project goes forward. I think the addition of Bucksport is interesting, to say the least, to this equation, and I do later on have an email that has information about a gentleman that spoke at an aqua farming class at the University of Maine Hutchinson and how the DEP's response will be to this, including Bucksport with algae levels and water and things like that. So I'm looking forward to the evening, and I'm happy to answer any questions, and I'll personally give you out my cell phone number at the end. So if you have any questions of me, you can contact me anytime. Fair enough?
Excellent. So, Eric, you can actually hold the microphone because you'll be first to answer the first question.
Okay.
So, from your perspective, what are the benefits of the project?
Well, I'll speak monetarily from the first point of view. The city of Belfast property taxes are split between the city's budget, the school budget, and the county. And a few pennies left or right, we get about 30 cents on every dollar as the city budget. The school gets, I'm going to say, roughly 60% of all the taxpayers' money, and the county gets around 10. So we get 30 cents on the dollar, but we're the ones who send out the bill for all of it. So, I know, right? So we hear all the time about property taxes. And then the mill rates can get all fuzzy because we can be at 22, but another town at 15 can actually have more taxes. Now, I don't even know how that works. But I've been on the council 10 years now, running a lean budget because we only get 30 cents on a dollar. So when we heard of this proposal, an idea, right, or dream or whatever you want to call it, of Nordic coming and building this massive thing in the woods, I will tell you we also heard $150 million invested. We heard long-term plans. We heard jobs. And as a council person that speaks to me as a reason to be open-minded and supportive of it, because we could use every tax dollar we can get. I read all the time, well, the state will get this or do that. I don't work for the state. I work for the city of Belfast. So I do my darndest to make sure that we get everything that we can. But from a monetary point of view, Councillor Hurley would tell you it's all about the property taxes with him. With me, and this is just an aside from the environmental point of view, not the local environmental point of view, but to me the more global. If I'm reading the cards right, 90% of all imported salmon, or 90% of all salmon sold in America are imported. So I went to the co-op and we met and looked at the fish cakes, it said farm salmon. So I think society needs to understand what we are already doing and eating more than maybe we are today. And I think this company choosing Belfast as a proposed site brings a lot of light on that. But we are already in the throes of an environmental situation in the ocean that I find scary. And again, I don't travel out in the ocean much, but I do see the videos of the plastic islands and all that. I mean, the human has done more damage to the planet, I think, than anybody. We banned plastic bags after a study in the Penobscot showed the fish and shellfish had plastic particles in them. And we took some heat from that, right? But now everybody's doing it. We like to think we're progressive. We like to think we're environmentally conscious. So, but from an environmental viewpoint, when I get like 3 days off a year, I go to Cobbs Cook and camp, and about 10 o'clock at night, all the planes from JFK, Newark, Boston, LaGuardia, because of the nighttime sky up there, the light pollution's low. You see them all flying, they're all going to Europe, right, to go up Greenland and then down, And so all that jet fuel, I originally thought with all the fish that are being flown in from Chile and Europe, that this was a good solution to a growing problem of food sustainability. I'm not that complicated, certainly not a scientist, and I'm not an expert, but it seemed to me to be a good idea for the population of Americans that eat fish. So from a tax viewpoint, we think it's a really good situation. Also, they've now considered buying the Water District's upper dam area and giving it to Coastal Mountain Land Trust or an assortment of groups, conservatory groups. And I also think that I can answer questions later on about the aquifer that I'm aware of and the level of water needed and the level of water we get. So from an environmental point of view, they're talking Tesla trucks, solar panels, employees. I've had several mothers contact me because my kids are in high school saying, can Tommy intern there? Because he's thinking about going to Maine Maritime, University of Maine for some marine biology stuff. And I'm like, okay, there's a connection. Most of us who have kids in the area know that they're going to go to college maybe somewhere else. We'd kind of all like them to come back to jobs and stuff. I mean, I would. And so I think this sort of cutting-edge, although big, cutting-edge project holds a lot of relevance for the future of this region. And final point, I've heard a lot about Nestle and corporations and because of the Nestle buyout over at Poland Spring. MBNA hired me, pretty big corporation back in the day, because nobody else in Maine would hire me when I moved here from New York City. And then Bank of America bought them, and I've been working there 20 years. Those are both were and are really large corporations. And so when I hear the corporation aspect of it, I take some pride in the fact that I work for a large corporation that I'm proud of and that does good work for the community. So, and I kind of feel that a big corporation or a wannabe big corporation like Nordic would do the same thing. So those are my thoughts. Hope it makes sense.
Thank you, Eric. Kathleen, what are the benefits of the project in your perspective?
So I feel that, and I have to say right away, I am not here as an official University of Maine employee. I'm here as a citizen speaking my opinion and not the official opinion of the university. That needs to be said. But I feel like the oceans have given us so much, and they've given us so much that we feel like they are an endless cornucopia of food. And we need to do everything we can to make our wild fisheries sustainable. Our oceans depend on it. People who fish for a living depend on it. But most studies say that even if we do get our fisheries to a sustainable level, they will fall far short of the demand for seafood. So fish farming is something that is in our future. And we can shape how that appears in our future. But I think we need to accept, just like we don't go out and shoot deer to get our meat, our red meat, we raise cattle. We are going to have to start farming our seafood to meet demand. Having grown up in Maine, it's been difficult to see so many of our industries leave the state from a jobs perspective. Like many people who grew up here, I was faced with a decision of do I go somewhere else to have a better shot at a career and make more money, or do I stay here and try to make it work? And I love Maine, and I stayed here and tried to make it work. But I wish that wasn't the choice facing so many young people in Maine. And I also don't believe that we have to sacrifice the environment to have good jobs. I think we can have a thriving economy and protect the environment, the ecosystems, the habitat, and our wildlife. From what I know of this facility, they are using cutting-edge technology to reduce the impact that the farm will have on the environment. Their model output in the application shows that the effluent will have minimal impact on local water quality. If this turns out to be a reality, then we will have provided much-needed jobs, increased tax revenue, and improve the local economy. I'm old enough to remember chicken feathers and entrails in Belfast. Probably some of you are too. thanks to the Clean Water Act, we don't see that anymore, and the efforts of many hardworking advocates. But we should not go backwards. We should not give up the gains we made. But neither should we dismiss projects out of hand when they seem scary. I think we need to be guided by the facts, so and make our decisions based on the scientific facts. I agree that there are a lot of unanswered questions, but since this question is about the benefits, I would say, in my opinion, the main benefits would be the economic benefits that Eric has talked about, as well as the fact that we do have to start solving the problem of where food comes from, and we need to cease over-harvesting the ocean. You know, the ocean is doing its best, but it can't meet our demands. So I would rather have fish farmed in Belfast than in South America, where I don't really know what's going into the fish. So I'll leave it at that for the benefits.
Thank you, Kathleen. So, Andrew, could you please speak to the benefits of the project from your perspective?
Yeah. Well, I think the biggest benefit that we've seen in Belfast and the surrounding communities has been the tremendous amount of discussion that the Nordic proposal has generated in our community, both pro and con. There were some people like me who were kind of sitting on the fence maybe when it was first announced January a year ago. Oh, and by the way, today is the anniversary of the first public meeting that was held in Belfast on the fish farm. So you are all here on a very important day in this schedule. The debate, as Eric alluded to, got a little heated, and it's still very heated because there are a lot of strong opinions on both sides. To me, I can completely see the economic benefits that an enterprise like this would present. There's no doubt that if we get the kind of tax revenue that they're projecting, the city can use it. Do I think my property taxes will go down? I do not, because I think that there are unmet needs in the city and that they will consume whatever additional revenue comes. And I think that's the way it should be. So I'm not really looking for a personal tax break if we see Nordic come in. And if it happens, I will be surprised and delighted. But we have to put the economic benefits on one side, and I think we have to look at other possible concerns, and we'll get into those in a minute. Really, it's the discussion that, to me, has been the biggest benefit. We have generated a lot of interest. We've gotten a lot more information. We've got a group called Local Citizens for Smart Growth, which is got a very active email list. There's a lot that goes on there, a lot of conversation. We've got another group called Upstream Watch, which is a group that I belong to and contribute to and support. And it's more of a watchdog organization. It doesn't really do a lot of citizen action stuff, but we're committed to making the regulatory process here in Maine work as efficiently and as effectively as it possibly can. And in order to do that, we're pressing for a lot of improvements and a lot of changes in the permitting process that I think, should Nordic survive that process, would make it a much better facility. So for me, the benefit is the conversation, and for a moderator to say it's respect and politeness and so on, those are the watchwords. We've got to have that. We can't make these kinds of decisions at this scale with these kinds of consequences for our immediate for our immediate benefit and for the benefit of our children and our grandchildren if we can't talk to one another honestly, openly, and with respect. So that's the benefit of the project so far.
Excellent.